From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Today on the program, there's talk of canceling student debt, or at least a large share of it. But would a mass cancellation of student loan debt be sending government help where it's needed most? That conversation later this hour. But first, the U.S. House of Representatives this week is considering another round of COVID relief. Democrats are pushing ahead with their own version of the plan, despite Republican objections. Earlier this morning, I spoke about that and more with Illinois U.S. Representative Raja Krishnamurti.
Hello.
Hello.
Is anybody there?
Yes, this is Brian Mackey here.
Hey, Brian. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks for being with me. Krishnamurti is a Democrat from the 8th District, which includes western and northwestern suburbs of Chicago. You can start in Oak Brook Terrace, head north to O'Hare Airport, then west through Schaumburg and out to Elgin. We taped this morning to accommodate the congressman's schedule. Because of that, we are not taking calls for this segment, but we always like hearing from listeners. Our email address is talk@21stshow.org, or you can always tweet us at 21st Show. Okay, here now is that conversation. Congressman Raja Krishnamurti, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being here.
Great to be with you.
Let's start by talking about the big COVID relief legislation that seems to be dominating the Congress this week. There's a lot in there, but let's start with what a lot of everyday people are probably most interested in, and that's stimulus checks. Can people expect another $1,400, and will there be limits on who qualifies?
Yes, they can expect those types of stimulus checks, and the similar limits that applied before will apply this time again. And I think that people really are hurting out there at this time. And I think this will make a big difference in terms of their ability to fund childcare expenses, other vital expenses, as well as, take care of things like rent and other essential needs. And so this is really important.
I also want to ask about, Illinois, there's been a lot of talk about minimum wage increase. Illinois is already making its way towards a $15 per hour minimum wage. But do you see that happening nationally? We do hear businesses in Illinois complaining that competing states around us don't necessarily have that high level of the minimum wage. Is there going to be a national minimum wage of $15 an hour out of this legislation?
Well, it ramps. It goes up to $15 over the next 4 or 5 years. But that's what I would like to see. Quite frankly, it would be good for Illinois because in a lot of places in Illinois, we are already experiencing that ramp. And so having neighboring states be on a similar ramp puts everyone on a level playing field. Nobody who works 40 hours full time should be poor. And that's just a basic concept. If we want to incentivize work, which I think all of us do, we also need to make sure that it's a wage that people can use to take care of their families.
But there is some question, though, over whether the Senate, and we don't have to get into the weeds of what the budget reconciliation process consists of, but there is some question as to whether this will actually happen as part of this legislation, right?
There is a question about whether it satisfies something called the Byrd rule, which is a technical rule with regard to reconciliation packages, which is this type of package. All that being said, I hope that it satisfies or complies with the rules in the Senate, and the Senate parliamentarian gets to decide that. But I have to just go back to what my constituents are telling me, which is that, a $7.25 an hour type of minimum wage is unacceptable at the national level. And it leaves you poor if you're working 40 hours a week at $7.25 an hour. That's unacceptable.
What about for people who are still not able to work in the pandemic and getting unemployment insurance? Will there be an extension of that? I think the current round of unemployment, there was some concern at the end of the year, and then it was extended through mid-March. Will it be extended beyond that?
Yes, it will be extended beyond that. I hope it's extended for several months with a $400 supplement to what the states are providing right now. And I think that again, is essential for the more than 10 million people who are unemployed right now, many of whom are long-term unemployed. And we have to just make sure that these folks are able to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
I also want to ask about taxes on unemployment payments. We've seen reports now of people who are getting hit with tax bills that they weren't expecting. I know people who couldn't work in the early months of the pandemic and actually made more money on unemployment than they would have otherwise. And they could be in for a big surprise if they opted not to have taxes withheld or they live in a state where that's not done for them. Should those taxes be waived on unemployment insurance?
Well, I think that obviously each jurisdiction in part gets to decide because they have different types of state and local taxes. But I should tell you that for stimulus payments, they are exempt from taxes, and other types of payments under the American Rescue Plan are also exempt. And I think we'll keep that in place.
As you know, Illinois U.S. Senator Dick Durbin wants to waive taxes on the first $10,200 in unemployment benefits claimed last year. Does it even make sense to tax government benefits like that? What is the point of that?
Again, I think that it probably makes sense to do what Senator Durbin is talking about. I think that each jurisdiction is going to have to decide for itself what it wants to do. At the federal level, I think it makes sense.
It does make sense to tax them, you think?
No, I mean to exempt.
Oh, to not. To exempt them. Okay. Just wanted to be clear about that.
Yeah, at least a certain portion.
Okay. And then another huge part of this legislation, not maybe as people might not realize how important it is to their lives, but it's certainly, I talked to a lot of Illinois government officials who are keeping an eye on this, and that is money for state and local governments. Last I checked, it was something like $7.5 billion for Illinois state government, another $5.5-6 billion going to cities and counties. Is that up to date? Two, will there be limits on that money, and what should it be used for?
That is up to date, the information that you have for Illinois. It's a total of $13.2 billion, $7.5 for the state of Illinois, and then $5.7 for all the county and city and village municipalities. And so in terms of limits, it's going to be related to pandemic expenses, whether it's pandemic revenue shortfalls actual expenses, additional expenses that states and municipalities have incurred. And this is vital because I think that people don't know this, but 1.4 million police officers, firefighters, health officials, teachers, and others who are crucial for fighting the pandemic or taking care of our children or educating people have already been laid off. That's a huge drag on the economy, and it basically handicaps us in the fight against the virus. So basically helping these state and local governments assists us in multiple ways, not the least of which in battling the COVID epidemic, but also in preventing hikes in taxes or service cuts, which are unacceptable right now.
As you know, a number of your Republican colleagues have opposed sending money to states and localities specifically for revenue shortfalls during the pandemic. And
yeah, it's a cynical move. I think that a lot of them are privately very relieved that others are willing to basically advocate for this aid. I guarantee you that none of them is going to turn it away. And their state and local constituents are going to be very grateful for receiving that aid, but they want to partisanize it and basically say this is a way to bail out blue municipalities and blue states, and it doesn't really do anything for red states and red areas of the country. And that's just hogwash. That's completely ridiculous. And I think that at this point, I think we just have to do what's best for Americans. This is America, an American problem that we have to address together.
If you're just tuning in, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Congressman Raja Krishnamurti. He's a Democrat from Schaumburg, the 8th Congressional District, which includes parts of the western and northwest suburbs of Chicago. Congressman, I want to ask you another issue that's been in the news lately are reports of increasing ethnic violence targeting Americans of Asian descent. I know you've spoken out about this. Is the government doing enough to protect all its citizens?
I think it needs to do more, quite frankly, Brian. You know, during the Trump years, unfortunately, Donald Trump did us no favors in referring to the pandemic as the Kung Flu, for instance, and making other racially charged comments, which essentially ended up leading to attacks on, you know, people of Chinese or Asian descent. And the net result is a lot of these communities are on the defensive. They are having to both confront the pandemic and an uptick in violence. Just the other day, a 52-year-old woman was savagely attacked outside a bakery in the New York City area. You know, other communities, whether they're South Asian or Muslim American or Indian American, are facing similar prejudice, and we have to do something about it as a country.
I also want to ask another issue I know you have been following this week is the Postal Service. Back in December, some relatives of mine sent something, priority mail. It's a journey of fewer than 200 miles by car, yet it took the post office 12 days to get this envelope that distance. I calculated it. It's about 0.6 miles per hour. you had a chance to question Postmaster General Louis DeJoy this week. What the heck is going on at the post office?
Chaos and confusion, Brian. I think Postmaster DeJoy is the wrong person for the job. Yesterday was my second opportunity to question him. And unfortunately, he approached a lot of the questions with a certain sneering condescension that either our questions were misplaced or the data supporting our questions was wrong, even when the data was supplied by his own agency. And so just to give you a flavor for what's happening with the USPS, under his leadership, first class local mail, which would ordinarily take no more than 2 days to travel, usually a very short distance within a city or a village, it had an on-time performance of roughly 90% before he took office or took leadership. Now it's down to 70%. And for non-local mail, that is mail that would otherwise take 3 to 5 days, the on-time percentage went from roughly 80% down to 40%. So you have a 4 in 10 chance of having non-local mail delivered on time. I mean, those are odds that you might see in Vegas, but you know, sending a piece of mail should not be the equivalent of playing a game of chance. And that's what we have with the USPS right now.
Illinois U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth has called on President Biden to sack the board of governors of the post office and put in a new board so they can, in turn, fire DeJoy and start over. Do you support that? Do you echo that call?
President Biden filled three positions yesterday, or nominated people to fill three positions yesterday. So there will be a full board. And I strongly urge them to take up the issue of relieving Mr. DeJoy of his duties. He's just not able to fulfill them. And quite frankly, he's lost the confidence of the American people. The worst thing that's happening right now, Brian, is that people are working around the U.S. mail. My own office, for instance, you know, we receive thousands and thousands of pieces of mail ordinarily every day, and we correspond with our constituents. Now we are having to scan and email a lot of correspondence because we don't know whether in certain instances it will reach the intended constituents, especially for timely or important pieces of mail. And I fear that a lot of people are going to start doing the same thing. And that really, in the long run, hurts the U.S. mail dramatically. And we can't, we want our U.S. mail back. We want our USPS back.
We're almost out of time. The last thing I want to ask you about is a question I'm putting to public officials from across the political spectrum this year, sort of a little more big picture. What, in your view, is the purpose of politics? What is politics for?
I think politics is for working together to confront common challenges and take up common opportunities in a civil and methodical fashion so that we can make the whole greater than the sum of the parts. And the United States has always been about that. And so now more than ever, we have to use our politics to heal our divisions and unify around our common ideals, which is, to me, equality, freedom, liberty, prosperity, and the ability of everyone to have a shot at the American dream. That is what we should do with our politics.
Congressman Raja Krishnamurti, thank you for taking the time to be with me today on the 21st.
Absolutely, Brian. Thank you.
More to come after a short break. Stay with us.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. Whether you're just starting out or upgrading to your dream home, Busey can guide you every step of the way, because they know there's no place like home. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.